The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, since the pandemic really started to bite back in March, everyone in this country got behind our frontline workers, and rightly so. We sent food to hospitals, we lit candles in solidarity, we stood outside our homes and applauded into the empty night sky. Not all heroes wear capes was the catchphrase of the day every day, and rightly so. We're in this together was another one. But what about the forgotten frontline workers, the ones who get up every single day, pandemic or no pandemic, to take care of their loved ones? They don't wear capes either, but home carers are heroes too, and sadly they're often unsung heroes. But they deserve just as much support as the other frontline workers who are putting themselves at risk during these difficult times. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now by three such heroes, Sharon Myers, Lee Tynan and Trish O'Neill. We want to hear their stories and get some insight into how difficult the pandemic has been on their lives. And Sharon, I might start with you. Please tell us about your son, Noah, and how you guys have been managing over the past few months.
Hi, Frank. Thanks a million for having me. I'll tell you, my son, Noah, he's 9 years old, but he has a very rare syndrome called Escobar syndrome, and that affects him physically. So essentially, all of his joints are affected, and he would have underlying conditions such as scoliosis, hernias, and other things along those lines. So Noah is a full-time wheelchair user and will be one for life. So just before the pandemic, luckily enough, after fighting for over a year, Noah had his scoliosis surgery. But unfortunately, due to the pandemic, the services such as his physiotherapy and occupational therapy haven't reopened as of yet. So for us, it's been, I suppose it's been a difficult few months, but at the same time, we're extremely grateful that Noah was able to have the surgery just before things shut down.
Yeah. You describe being overwhelmed during lockdown, and you felt the need to reach out then to other carers. That's obviously how you came on our radar. Tell us a little bit about the campaign, hashtag Make Carers Visible.
Yeah, so I suppose, being a carer and obviously, between all the different hospital appointments and, clinic appointments, I would meet other parents such as myself, which for the majority are carers full-time at home as well. And I suppose we have been luckily enough to be afforded a decent platform on social media. And I felt that, with the introduction of the new government, maybe it was an opportunity for me to give people who maybe don't ordinarily have a voice just to share maybe a snippet of their story. So what I did for the month of July was I gave 9 families, all different types of carers, so carers of adults, of the elderly, a chance to just share their name and who they cared for, and then their hopes for the future. And what that did, Frank, was it kind of just made not only myself see, but others watching our page, that really carers all have the same, I suppose, want and wish, and that is literally just to be seen and be valued by the heads of state. Yes. And, we're not asking for the world, and we're not asking for, loads of money or anything like that. It's just that when we need the help, that they'll step up and say, Sharon, don't worry about it. We got your back. We're going to give Noah, let's say, the equipment he needs without you fighting for it. We're going to get him the physio appointment. We're going to get him the surgery. And, we're here for you. And that seems to be the overwhelming message, was that that's all carers want.
Hold that thought, Sharon, because we will return to what previous governments have done for home carers and what hopefully this new government will be able to do going forward. But I want to bring in Lee Tynan at this point. And Lee, tell us about your husband, Garth.
Well, Garth is 39 and he was born with cerebral palsy. It's spastic diplegia of the lower limbs. So it's his lower limbs that are mostly affected. So he also suffers with chronic pain due to his cerebral palsy. And over the years, he's gotten progressively worse, which doesn't always happen in every case of cerebral palsy, but unfortunately in his case it does. So he's now a part-time wheelchair user. His doctors are very surprised that he's not a full-time wheelchair either, but that's a lot to do with pride and kind of determination to keep going. But it does end up in a lot of falls throughout the day.
And tell me this, because I know the situation at home for you is particularly difficult. Your daughter also has a rare form of cancer. You're pregnant at the moment as well, which adds its own complications, particularly, I'd imagine, when Garth falls.
Yeah.
How has lockdown been for you and your family?
It's been quite difficult in that for us, I suppose if he has a fall, I can't help him. And I'm dependent on someone else, and obviously during lockdown there's no one else. But that doesn't only happen like during lockdown. It's like if something happens and you need extra support, there's no one to call, you know. You do have the likes of your OT and everything, and they're doing the best that they can with the means that they have been given. But as Sharon kind of highlighted, it's a battle for every single thing that you need. And you're not asking for anything major. You're just asking for things to help, like, daily life, you know, happen and be that little bit easier and manageable.
Yeah.
But it is a constant battle. Everything that you need has to first be assessed by your OT. It then has to be submitted for approval. You have to wait weeks and weeks, sometimes months, on approval for different aids that you might need. Then there's aids that they no longer fund, so you have to, you know, do that privately. Then it comes down to the likes of physio. During lockdown, there was absolutely no physio, so I would have to do what I could with him, you know, given kind of guidelines from the physiotherapist. But Gart needs weekly physiotherapy, and the HSE are only willing to give him a monthly appointment, and that monthly appointment lasts approximately 20 to 30 minutes. So we pay privately for him to go weekly for an hour appointment, which he needs. And if he didn't have that, he would be in hospital for, you know, possibly 3 to 4 months of the year, which would be a much bigger expense than giving him, you know, the simple need that he needs now, like as in the weekly physiotherapy.
And tell me this, Lee, because you've spoken about the many needs that your husband Garth has, but what about your own needs? Are they ever taken into consideration? You're pregnant at the moment, you have a daughter to take care of as well.
Yeah.
Does that come into the picture at all when
Absolutely
they're carrying out
not.
These assessments?
Absolutely not. It's just like, you know, well, that's just the way your life is. It's not really looked at as a whole. It's looked at like, this is what we can offer.
Okay.
Take it or leave it. You know, that's it just boils down to that. And that's not to do with it's not to do with the physiotherapist. It's not to do with the occupational therapist. It's not to do with doctors who really do want to help. It's to do with the resources and the lack of anybody really looking at what is necessary, what is needed, and keeping these people out of hospitals, you know, keeping them from actually taking up beds that they shouldn't have to, because they can't get the necessary care that they need from a day-to-day, week-to-week basis.
Okay. Hold that thought. Trish O'Neill is a mother of three and describes herself as a part-time carer for her son, Connor, who is 7 years of age. Tell us about Connor and his needs, and tell us about your experience during lockdown taking care of him.
Hi, Frank. Connor is 7, almost going on 8, and Connor has autism. He also has an intellectual disability. So lockdown for us, because of the change of routine, has been just relentless stress. It's been absolutely incredible trying to get through it all. We've had zero support throughout it, but I guess the thing again, and this has already been kind of alluded to, we've never had support anyway. So we've been now waiting 4 years to receive psychology for Connor, for example. And that would be probably the biggest challenge that we have, because with Connor's autism, his communication is very limited. And that leads to a lot of frustration. So he's very, very prone to some very, very serious meltdowns where he can become very, very aggressive. And this is only heightened over the lockdown because poor Connor hasn't understood what's going on and he can't tell us why he's frustrated, why am I not at school? But we've never had the support. And over lockdown, we've felt particularly on our own and forgotten about. And the struggle is there daily. but there's nowhere to kind of reach to for help because it goes unanswered. Everything is a waiting list. Everything is a battle. And the person who suffers the most is Connor, because he doesn't know what he's done wrong. He doesn't know why he's not getting help, and he can't talk to anybody about it. But of course, it affects the rest of the family as well. He's got two younger siblings who see a lot of things that they probably shouldn't see. And he's got his mom and dad who are constantly stressed. And we only have each other, and all we want to be is parents. So I just want to be a mommy every day. But unfortunately, I have to be a psychologist. I have to be a speech and language therapist, an occupational therapist. And I'm constantly guessing and self-guessing and doubting myself. So it's been a horrible few months, but to be honest, it's been a stressful few years as well.
I can only imagine. Well, look, full disclosure, you know, I do understand fully your experiences. My older sister is a carer for my mother. She's had MS since I was a boy. My father was her carer up until he passed away 2 years ago. And my sister stepped into the breach, newly married, moved into the family home. And Sharon, she feels at times that she's screaming against the wind and that nobody is listening to her and that she's not getting the support that she needs. She's taking exceptional care of my mother and her needs are 24/7 round the clock. You know, what do you have to say to this new government? I mean, what can they do now to help the likes of yourself and the other ladies who have shared their stories?
Do you know what, Frank? It really boils down to, I want them, you know, to listen to our stories. I want them to recognise that behind every, you know, person that goes on national radio, that goes on national television to fight for something, there are real families behind those people that do not want to be doing that. All we want for our families is to allow them to have dignity, to empower them to be successful members of society in the future. And the services, the lack of services are not allowing us to do that or the supports. My mum also cares for, along with her siblings, for my elderly grandmother. And, you know, my grandfather passed away last December and he got the extra home help hours the day after he passed away. It took 6 months for that to come true.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nobody, we don't want the world. We just want to say, we want them to say, you know what, Sharon, we know you, your husband, your parents, your grandparents pay taxes for years. And you know what, things happened. You had a child with a disability. You didn't want that to happen. But you know what, don't worry. We have you right at this time. And we're going to empower you to get your life back on track by making these things, like getting equipment, easier for you. And you know, Lee and Trish there, you know, we're all, the thing is, we all have different stories, but our end goal or our wants are all the same. And we just want the government to see us. We want to be visible in their eyes and just realise that we are, I suppose, we're doing so much to save the country money, really. And we're probably not fighting enough, Frank, to be honest. We're probably not shouting loud enough. But, you know, when you're caring for someone, all your energy is gone doing that.
Yes. And Lee, what do you make of what Sharon's just said there? You know, you can do all the shouting and all the banging on tables that you want, but at the end of the day, the people in authority probably know that you're not going to walk out on your loved one.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing about it is, where Sharon was saying that, like, I did beat down every single door. My daughter, she had to get care in America for a couple of years because she just has a very extremely rare cancer. And while she's doing fantastic now, she's left with, like, multiple underlying conditions. But her condition is so rare that there's, like, only a few doctors in Ireland that will work with the doctors in the US to kind of keep the continuity of care for her. And for that privilege, we have to go private, but that's not covered. Like, you can't get health insurance for somebody with, like, a known disability. You can get health insurance, but anything to do with their disability is not covered. So that's all out of pocket. And you can bet your bottom dollar that every single thing that goes wrong with somebody with a disability, be it a fall, you know, anything, it will always be put back to, oh, that happened because of the disability, and then you're at nothing paying health insurance for those people. So it's like, you know, can you, like, can somebody be kind of, you know, a medium between us and the government that can sit down, assess your needs and say this person needs A, B and C to be able to function, to be able to have, you know, a good quality of life, because every single person deserves a good quality of life.
Yeah.
And that's all we're asking for. We're asking for them to just see these people and see what they need and help them, because at the end of the day, you know, they are... there are people in this country that should be supported, like, and not ignored.
Absolutely. Hashtag Make Carers Visible is the campaign. I would urge everybody to go and check it out and get behind it. We'll have to leave it there, unfortunately. We have run out of time. But I do want to thank Sharon Myers, Lee Tynan and Trish O'Neill for sharing their stories. And best of luck going forward. And make sure to look after yourselves, because carers are often the last people to do just that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.